Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday show, which is a no-caller show. The only day of the week we're not accepting callers these days. So I'm going to welcome Pastor Fishman to share music and the word. Bless
Amen.
You all.
Amen. Thank you very much, Tony. That was very, very beautiful. Okay, a great opening. Okay, well, we got music ready for you all today. Yes, we do. Let's see. Okay. Well, let's open this up with How He Loves. Here we go.
Thank you. consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forth I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, shall
let's get into our service now. Okay, amen. All right. Okay, I've got a great sermon lined up for you. This is called The Members of Our Church, Part 2. Again, it's part of our series, our Man in Crete series. And it's coming from Titus chapter 2. Okay? So, let's begin with an opening prayer. If anyone bow their head, please. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that the Savior has been with us on earth, and that our day we can still follow him and wait for your will and your rulership, Lord. For you are Almighty God, and your kingdom must come, Lord. Your will must be done, Lord, and all promises be fulfilled, Lord. Carry out your will, Lord. We ask and beseech you, Lord. Establish your kingdom among all nations, Lord, even if today this is possible with only a few, Lord. For through your working hearts, Lord, hearts can change so that your name may be praised, Lord, and all promises may be fulfilled, Lord. So thanks be to you for allowing us to live in such a great hope, Lord. Stay with us in our work on earth, Lord, so that it may be done in your service, Lord. In every situation, deepen our longing for the Savior to come and establish your kingdom, Lord. Be with us during the night and bless us in your great goodness and faithfulness, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're in Titus 2 this evening. That's where we're back tonight. We've been in a series of studies for the last couple of months through this letter. By the way, this was next to the last letter that Apostle Paul wrote. We're in Titus 2, and he wrote it to a young Gentile believer named Titus. I'll give you a little bit of background for those of you who are new tonight and can catch up, you back up. Okay, most likely Titus came into Paul's life sometime during the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. Luke doesn't make mention of him in Acts, but that doesn't matter to us. We do not know when or where or how he was converted precisely or even how he met Paul. But Paul calls him, if you look there in verses 1, chapter 1, verse 4, a true son in our common faith. It suggests that Titus, like Paul's other young preacher boy, Timothy, was led to saving faith by Paul. After his first imprisonment, he took Titus with him to Crete. They ministered together there, and then Paul left. He left Titus there to carry on the ministry in verses 1, chapter 1, 5. He traveled with Paul extensively, and then was with him in Corinth. That's important for this study. See, he was there with Paul in Corinth and was not just a mentee or an understudy, but he was a real partner, a fellow laborer with him. And Titus was Paul's model of what a born-again, spirit-filled Gentile convert was. He didn't have to show any of his outward sign like a young Jewish boy, the circumcision of obeying all temple Mosaic laws. He was very well acquainted with the arguments of Judaizers. The important here is in Titus as well. He had spent a year or so with Paul ministering, like I said, in Corinth, which was the prototypical, listen, if you want to see what a problem church, what a picture of a problem church, it was the church of Corinth. It really prepared him to deal with the immature self-respect, factional worldly Cretans, if you will. Paul is passing on the baton, and he's writing these letters to his young preacher boys. You have Timothy, two letters to Timothy. You've got this intensively practical letter to Titus, as well as interesting. I am 57 years of age this fall. Okay, I turned that back in October. I guess that definitely puts me into a middle age. I guess that's what that's called. But I remember when I was just a young kid, preacher boy in my first church, okay, in Virginia, okay? It was Gateway Baptist Church. You're that young preacher boy, and you're coming in, and you have no idea how to do anything. You just don't know how. You learn a lot, and you learn a lot by what you do right sometimes, and you get praised for it. And you learn even more by what you do wrong, and it's those bought lessons that my mama used to talk about. Okay, here you've got Titus and Timothy. They're young preacher boys. They're facing stiff opposition. Timothy received a letter just like Titus did from Paul to instruct them on what to do now that they're in Crete. Chapter 1 focuses on the qualifications of the church leadership, specifically their theology and their personal character and conduct. Here in Chapter 2, he's focusing on the character and the conduct of the church members themselves. We're going to look at that again tonight. Then when we get into a Chapter 3, you're dealing with character and conduct, both of the leaders and members before the unbelieving world in which they are living, in which they are trying to minister and to witness to all areas in concern, are essentially to this real purpose of the letter. It is not a doctrinal, as maybe Paul's letters to Romans, but it's intensely practical. It's an evangelistic letter whose purpose is really to prepare the church for more effective witness to the unbelievers there in Crete. That's where we're here tonight. That brings us this evening to Chapter 2, and picking back up in verse 1, I'm going to read this chapter for you tonight, and then we will pick up where we left off last time. If you're there in Chapter 2 of Titus, say amen. All right. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Hey, by the way, that you take care of truth decay in the church. It is a sound doctrine. You teach your way out of problems, all right? I really do believe that over the years, and hopefully even now, one of the reasons why we don't have a lot of problems that a lot of the other churches have is because of the strength of the pulpit in teaching what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. That's really how you do it. Okay, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that are admonished the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one is in an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to the will be pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may be adorned the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things." Amen? So what a beautiful phrase that last one is. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works, speak these things, exhort, rebuke all authority, let no one despise you." Amen? So, here we are tonight, and we're picking up where we left off last time, where Paul is basically setting forth instruction for sound doctrine to teach the leaders and the people of the congregants, if you will. Sound doctrine is the heart of the New Testament church again. We need to believe, practice, and teach sound doctrine. It's not popular today to deal with doctrine. As a matter of fact, if you have a doctrine class, you can count on one hand, normally in most churches, how many people will show up for that. But without sound doctrine, you are presenting yourself with all sorts of problems. You're opening the door for all sorts of issues within your church. That's why so many churches get into trouble today, because they're not teaching, they're not implementing, they're not exhorting, they're not admonishing to learn and to behave according to the sound doctrine. What we're doing here tonight is that we are just doing what Paul instructed Titus to do. We're teaching sound doctrine on a very practical level. If you remember last time, we saw what we had to talk about the character and conduct of the pastor, the elder, if you will, the character, the conduct of the woman. And did you notice I said the older women? I will not say old women from the pulpit, but he admonishes them, exhorting the older women. The older women, and that brings us tonight, where we will see what Paul has to teach Titus about the young women and the young men. And then these are known as the bondservants. If you're ready, say amen. All right. Notice the character and conduct of the younger women. You're there in Titus. Okay, let me get there myself. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says there, Titus 2:4, that they admonish admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. That's the word of God, may not be blasphemed. Look right here. The strength of any church, are you listening? Say, we're listening. The strength of any and every church is the older members teaching the younger members what it means to know and to practice sound doctrine and sound principles of the Word of God. Look right here. If you have a church where the old folks don't want anything to do with the young folks, or the young folks don't want anything to do with the old folks, you have a church that is destined and doomed for failure. Man, we are living in a world today, again, where some of the older churches, we don't want none of them young folks around here and their music and all their crazy stuff. So look right here. If you want a building that's always nice and never messed up because you don't have any young people in the hallways, there's no children running around messing things up, in 10 or 20 years you'll have a nice building that's empty. That's empty. But on the other hand, we've got all those younger folks, lots and lots of younger folks who don't want anything to do with the music style of worship, the dress, whatever the old folks. Again, that's just ridiculous. That is silly. We need the older folks investing in the younger folks and the younger folks willing to listen to the older folks. Now here, you've got these younger women, and it talks about their age. Look what it says down there. It says that they admonish the young women, women who have not lived to be mature in age, not lived in a mature by years of experience. Hey, by the way, just because a person is an adult age, that doesn't mean that they are ready for all responsibilities and role of Christian or messianic duty. You have to take these younger women, and you've got to train them. You've got to teach them. Okay, these younger women, notice their conduct. Amen? Now, what we do, if you're not familiar with this, is on Sunday night. We just take these words and work our way down through the text. He talks about the conduct. Here's what I wanted you to see tonight. He gives them an admonishment. Okay, are you with me? He's saying, amen. He admonishes them. I found this week, I don't know if I'll be able to present this to you the way I want to. I've been excited about this all week, but this is one of those things that he admonished. Okay, look here. He says that they admonish, you've got an old King James is going to say that they exhort. Maybe they be sober. The word sober is not there in my beloved New King James. And I went back and looked, and I went, wait a minute. The old King James says sober. The New King James doesn't. It leaves it out. Somebody cut a word out of my Bible. That's kind of what I thought. Well, it's there. It's just not as clear as you think. The word soperenzo, you say sofer what? Soperenzo, it means to admonish. It means to admonish. Okay, the word is there to exhort, but it's a special type of exhortation. It's an exhortation or admonishment of self-control, sober. It is an admonishment or exhortation of self-discipline. If there is just not there, he says, I want to admonish them, to train them to be self-controlled, sober, no King James, soperenzo. By the way, the only place in the New Testament that you'll find soperenzo, you can walk out there tonight saying the pastor taught about soperenzo. It's the only place in all the New Testament. You all don't get excited about that like I do. Man, I was walking around with my Greek New Testament this afternoon going soperenzo, soperenzo. It's the only place in the old New Testament that you find it. Again, they're admonishing. We're going to deal with this in a minute. He admonishes them. The older women are to admonish and to exhort, to teach and train the younger women to be sober, to be self-controlled, to be self-disciplined. It goes on to say, admonish them in my beloved New King James. Admonish the younger women. We've already gotten to the sober out. No, we dealt with that. To love their own husbands. What? The older woman had to teach the younger women to do what? Paul says, teach them, train them, exhort them, admonish them to love their own husband. So look right there. Okay? That need is occurring today as it was back then. I mean, that is contemporary as you could possibly get. When you begin to consider and think about the number of divorces that take place in our nation, 800,000 divorces every single year. They say that somewhere north of 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I've heard this or heard that disputed. But let's be honest, there's a whole lot of divorces taking place. I'm not saying here tonight, don't walk out of here going, did you hear what the preacher said? The preacher said all divorces are a fault, wandering wives who are not loving their husbands. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that Paul said, hey, you older women are to teach younger women to love their own husbands. Why was Paul emphasizing this? Because, listen, before the coming of Christ, here's why. Before Jesus Christ came, women were just considered a piece of property. They were chattel, something to be owned and controlled. They had no real place, no real voice, no status in society. I mean, just to be honest with you, they were very much like slaves. Yet the gospel of Jesus Christ has liberated women, has brought you to your rightful position with your husband. That's where the one flesh comes into play. Somebody says that Christianity and messianism denigrates women. Are you kidding me? The gospel of Jesus Christ has done more to elevate the position of women than anything else in human history. Before this, again, ladies, you were just property. When Jesus Christ came, he's saying, no, you are one flesh. Here you have a creed that was common for some of these women. That's why he's doing this, to take advantage of this newfound liberty. Some of them began to neglect their husbands and their homes to the point to where they were being unfaithful. So when you compare that today, your career women, if you will, I won't step into that tonight. I'll just say this right here. I don't have any problem. I don't think the Bible has any problem. You have Proverbs 31 where she worked in the home and she worked outside the home. But I will just say this, ladies. There does become a problem when your marriage and your home and your relationship with your husband and all those when they are secondary to what you're trying to pursue out there in the world. There's a problem that comes there. He's saying, I want the older woman to admonish, to teach, train these younger women to love their own husbands. Then he goes on to say, I never would have thought I would have read this, to love their children. Why do you have to teach women mothers to love their children? Why would a woman need to be taught to love her children? Now, again, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm not a woman. I don't get this. I would have just thought, hey, guys, don't raise your hand because you don't need an elbow in your rib. But I would have just thought, be natural instinct for a mother to love her children. Again, you have to go back to the context here in Crete. These women had given themselves solely over to the pleasures and activities outside of the home. Oh, I could preach on this and all the pictures from all the places I see. Not just women, but men too. We're dealing with women right now. Well, we'll do men in a minute. But all the pictures and all the places I see that a lot of our women are putting on their emphasis and places. I will just get over here and I'll say this. And you can get mad at me if you want to, and I don't care. When I start seeing a mature woman, I'm just going to leave it there, trying to act like teeny boppers, hanging out in places with teeny boppers. Normally my red flags go up. Uh-oh. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. You all know what I'm talking about here? You have to take care of yourself, and you have to have your downtime and all kinds of stuff. But I'm just telling you that there's a problem. He's saying here that you've got all these interests and all these activities outside your home that you don't even have time to love your children. Hey, look right here. If you could just get the older women to teach the younger women how to love their children, it would go a long way today to doing what with child abuse and abortion and abandonment. I mean, they would be reduced to a minimum. I'm just saying this, and I'll move on because I can see I have made about several of you mad, and I don't care. But this should be a call for unselfish, genuine love that sacrifices itself for our children. Okay? I was a kid and my wife all the time. She does not like this, and she's not here tonight. And I appreciate it if you don't tell her that I said this tonight. But I tell you here all the time, there's a reason why Mother's Day is bigger than Father's Day. You all know that's true. I mean, my goodness, Mother's Day flowers and roses and candies and meals. And Father's Day what? But you have to be able to say, I love my wife. Our society needs this exhortation. Again, if you have to work outside the home, because I get it, I'm just saying that you need to make sure that you are sacrificial, loving, and genuine in your concern and care for your children. It goes on to say not just loving their children and loving their husbands, but to be discreet again is the same idea. Self-control, temperate, controlled by God's word, controlled by God's will. He's driving his point home. It's like a pastor who says the same thing over and repeatedly. Okay, Paul's saying, I want to make sure you get this point. Don't miss this. You need to take heed of this exhortation. Be self-controlled, be temperate, be controlled by God. He goes on to say chaste. Okay, we just don't use that word today. We ought to. My goodness, I saw one of our guys, he was flying somewhere today. I can only assume he was talking about women because I just don't even want to think about the idea of esteem being in regard to men. I forgot the first little phrase that he used, but basically, good night, people are wearing less and less on planes. It isn't just on planes, he says, but they might as well be nude. Hey, you need to be chaste. What's that mean? Pure, godly. It's talking about, are you still with me? It's talking about the genuine morality and importance of a Christian or Messianic woman. If this trait, that characteristic, is not emphasized more in the teaching of our young women today, our society never get to make it. I started to write down, and I didn't. I have some trouble with my Apple Pen, but I get a little star besides that. I'll make this statement. Over the last 50, 60, 70 years, let's go back to World Wars, there was this idea guys can be crass. We talked about locker room talk. You know, guys can be blunt and those sort of things, but there was not a coercing of a woman like we're seeing today. I mean, you get around some woman, they'll cuss like a sailor, worse than some men. I'm just saying that for the women, older ladies, listen to older women, you are to teach young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste. That's their character. Well, I'm going to end it right here, okay, and we'll pick back up next week, okay, on this. Amen. Well, let's bow our head. For closing prayer. Lord our God, we look to you and to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Continually renew your grace and your power in our lives. We pray, renew your grace and power, that we may have light even in dark and distressing times, Lord. And through the Savior, may our overcome as we wait faithfully for your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be ready to take anything upon ourselves, Lord, to serve you with body and soul, Lord. All we have and are, Lord. May we belong to the host of those who go to meet you, Lord, who wait for your coming kingdom, Lord, which will bring comfort to the world and to all people who now suffer and grieve, Lord. O Lord, O God, have mercy on our times and on our world, Lord. Grant that we thanks and praise may we soon see the signs of fulfillment of your promise, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to get to the most important part of the service. It's just the invitation. How many of you out there do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you lost? Okay, walking aimlessly through life, dazed and confused, not knowing which way is up or down. Okay, or maybe you suffer from some type of depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from some kind of a drug addiction, alcoholism. Okay, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Okay? The Lord can take that away, but guess what, folks? He can't do that if he doesn't know you. He has to know you. So I ask you tonight, how many of you would want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? If so, just say the simple little prayer with me or after me. Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sin and then rose from the dead on the third day. So thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would like to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you and may he always keep you highly favored. Now listen, folks, okay, normally we don't take calls on Sunday, but for some reason I've got this urge to tell you to call. Because I have a feeling that there is many of you out there that said this prayer tonight, and we want you to call in. Because right now the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay, and all the angels and everybody in heaven is rejoicing that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you let us rejoice with them. I want you to call area code 657-383-1487. Again, that is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key. When you do so, you'll come on live and you'll tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Please be that first caller at 657-383-1487 and then press the 1 key because you could trickle 100 more. Amen. Well, looks like we've got Pastor Wanda here with us. Hello, Pastor Wanda.
Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Hello, brother. Pastor.
Yes.
How you doing, beautiful man of God? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Say it again, brother.
I said I'm blessed and highly favored.
And I'm blessed and highly favored, rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is thy strength.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got Tony that joined us. Okay, so he's been doing the opening prayer and closing prayer. Okay,
yes.
And he's been doing really good at it. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm back, brother. God was on. Been in the hospital, but all is well, brother. All is well. I'm still
Amen.
Standing. Praise to God. He's been had me a little bit of everywhere, just a little bit everywhere, and so all is well. That's all I can say. What was in 2018 is dead, and what's the day that the Lord has allowed me to live and still to serve Him and to worship Him, the head of my life. And he's making me stronger than ever, okay, in
yeah.
him. Not I'm myself, so I will be back because the phones, a lot of stuff, it was just tearing up, brother. So, you know, when you're in warfare and when things
yeah.
coming against you, you got to sometimes back up and allow God, just like you said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So I had to, he hid me for a minute and I'm back. You
okay,
so great.
We've been missing you, Pastor Wanda. We've been missing you.
I called, but it would never let me click on, and you didn't even know I was on. I came on Friday and Saturday.
I saw you, and I was clicked up.
And the thing, and my phone is shut down, Pastor. So my phone's a whole bunch of stuff, but all is well. God is in control, so he knows what was going on. So I said, Lord, I thank you. So I had to go into a thanksgiving and praise unto God. No matter what's going on, I'm still going to give him thanks, okay?
So tonight,
I've been in service, then praise, worship, and cried out to God for many. as well. Not just all the time, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not praying for myself, but a lot of women of God, because a lot of things are going on. And then I get on and you talking on how women are, how Jesus have redeemed, he have restored women, okay? And I said, thank you, Lord. And so that's why I got on. He had me to call. It's not my call. Anytime it's an assignment, it is already predestined to be able to. I thank God for redeeming women, okay? Thank him.
Amen. That's right. I mean, that's what the gospel is all about. It's about, okay, letting women have a say in the world, okay?
I heard it, brother. Because before that,
they had no say.
We had nothing. You had to be listening to your husband or the pastors, and you had to be quiet. Okay? Yes, and I've been listening. So I put it on mute, and so, you know, it was a great, that is something great, because a lot of, but like I want to say something, brother. Just like I tell a lot of women that God, you know, because I deal with a lot of women, you're not over a man. You will never be over a man. It don't matter, because God made man first. So they must submit, even in your marriage. It's always submission. You understand, sir?
Brother. But then, you know, that's also a two-way street, okay? Okay,
uh-huh.
Just because men are first doesn't mean that man can't submit to his wife. Okay.
Yeah,
a lot of men think that the women are supposed to submit to them, and they're not supposed to submit either. But it's a two-way street.
Yes, Kelsey, and I was listening to you about a lot of divorces, and you know, in Proverbs, it says drink from your own citron, because there's so many things that can lure God's men away from their wives. You understand? So that's why God wants them only their wives, not with the side chick, girlfriend, mystery, mistress, or anything. That's why he made them as one, not two. And that's why God is trying to bring it back to their union as one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because, men and women are supposed to be of one flesh. Okay?
One flesh. That's right, brother. One. And that's what the oneness is. Yes.
Right.
Yes, I'm so glad to talk to you and to speak and expound and talk on many things that God has. You know, that's a kingdom call.
Yes, amen.
I miss you, brother.
I miss you too, Pastor Wanda. Okay,
my brother been doing?
Are you going to be back now?
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm writing, and he's opening a lot of doors, brother. A lot of doors. You know, he had me on a lot of different missions, assignment, and in different ministries. Not jumping from ministry to ministry. You know, with the anti-sex trafficking, cancer, the veteran, the homeless, humanity, homeland security, the schools, prison. So it's a lot that he has me doing, and even with radio ministry that he has us doing, and then going out under the highways and byways, you know, to pull souls in to know Jesus Christ. So seeing the homeless, picking up and seeing about the elders, a little bit of everything. So I just let him use me wherever he wants me. So I will be back, and I will be back on with you no matter what comes. You know, I'm not running from anything. You know, it's not that I didn't want to be on, but he had something, and so some more deliverance on certain things, and to strengthen me and move me in different areas. But,
Amen.
That's what's going on.
Okay.
And so just like he said, when God, he brought it back, when you make a commitment, don't talk about I forgot. You made a, that's just like making a vow. You're committed to what you said out of your mouth, and he wants you to honor what you say. And
you know, it's so like I tell when people see me, they have a tendency to judge me because of my tattoo. Okay, and
yeah, Thank you, Dad. I felt anointing when you said that, the spirit lived. I got to shake it in it. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Yes,
so
brother.
I tell my pastor, and then I have a show on talk radio. They want the number so they can listen. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So what I'm thinking about doing is making business cards with the ministry name and the, okay, the call in.
Yes,
out.
Brother. That's
what you think about.
So listen, I need for you to send that the Rainbow Side Ministry back to me because I got two different new phones. I'm not. You remember my the Facebook was hacked. Okay, the people that used to call, I can't send it out. So God had me to make a different profile. I said, Lord, I thank you. It was over 5,000. So, Lord, give us 50,000, okay? So I can put it back out on the page that I'm on now. So I had to talk to people that it's not me. They're still my the page God gave me. But certain people are sending things are not of God. So I need that back to, the phone I'm calling on the line, and I'm going to put it on both of the two phones he gave me, the ministry phone as well as the radio phone, and to send it out. And so I can make the card, say, however you making your card, I need the same thing so I can be down here in Atlanta so I can pass out, okay?
Okay, all right. I think next month, I'm going to call this and print me up a card. Okay?
Yes, sir. Because, see, the same with me, the church I am, I got to get some cards made. It's supposed to have been made, but I'm on God's timing because you know how certain people say, I'm going to order them for you. So the Lord is going to allow them to get ordered, but they're just like, it's God is a God of decent order in 1 Corinthians 14:40. So when you send that out, I can send it out at the same time and get both cards sent out.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, Vista Prince has got a deal going on.
I've seen it. It's awesome. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do that next month.
Yeah, but I still need you to send out the site. I still need you to send out the page so I can post it. And so that's why a lot of people said, we can't find it. And so I got to get it put back on this phone because I had it locked in my phone. So I got to get a new phone, the other phone.
Are you back on Facebook now?
All right, listen at me. What is it going to say? On my Facebook is Wanda Smith, and it says it's going to be a lion of Judah. So it's a different lion. It's roaring. It said, the enemy whispered that you can't handle the storm, but the warrior in me said I am the storm, but my picture is behind the lion.
Okay. All right.
So that it's a new page that had to be an security in everything on that Privacy Act, a lot of things. You remember when how yours was some things happened on your page, and you had to remake another page. So God, He just get clearing out and giving new people as well. You know, I still thank Him that it was hacked, and even though that is my past, so certain things, those God is doing new things. So I had to pick a new page.
Okay, all right.
I got two pages. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, if you get a chance, send me a friend's request. Okay.
I'm gonna have to. Let me see. I'm gonna try to do it while I'm sitting here. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that right now. I got to learn how to do that. Listen, it was on my other phone. It just let me. I don't know how to do that. Let me see. Very quick. So it's gonna be. So do I search for it, Pastor?
You just look for Kenneth Fishman, Okay, I only have
one. Wait a
minute,
I'm doing it now. Kenneth Fisher. I got
Kenneth, and it's got a picture of a pastor, a white.
Uh-huh.
Okay, as my
wait a minute, hold on. Okay, Fish, wait a minute.
Fisher. Cartoon preacher, okay, with a black and white, like a pastor, okay,
I remember Fish.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm trying to, it's acting up. Hold on, Pastor, I'm trying to, it'll be done, sir. It's eight.
Okay.
I got it. Fisherman.
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 F-I-S-H-M-A-N. All right.
All right, I got you.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Lord. Come on, Lord.
We need to be...
All right, I'm doing it right now. I got the, I got it. All right, I just added a friend. It's
okay.
Unable because you got over 5,000. I'm on there, but it won't let me get you.
All right. Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll clear a couple people out that I don't talk to, so that way you can resend. Okay.
It's okay. Right. Okay, because it said I am a pastor, Christian missionary here in Texas. My goals are to help indigent and homeless.
Right.
And that's it. I got it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'm gonna leave that
well, you can,
open.
You can follow me for now. Okay.
Okay.
Follow me, and then when I get
a
chance, clear out the
name.
You don't
have a follow.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, brother. I can then get you on as a friend. Okay.
All right. I just sent through messages to lock you in, and it'll let you know so they know you, it's me.
But that way you can still message me, okay?
Yes, I got you. I got it. I just did. God just let me go through that.
Okay.
Because I had so many. God had so many people, and I said, Lord, I can't find him, and so I just did it. Hallelujah, God.
There you go.
Now
you'll be able to message me.
All right, let me put your red so you're different, the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
All right.
You got a report or a testimony you'd like to give today?
I just want to thank God for being here in my life, for healing, delivering, restoration, restoring mercy, grace, salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing his people. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for my kids, grandkids. I thank you for your family and everyone that's listening. I thank you, God, for Jesus. I thank him for so many things, for breath, life, a spiritual life, the Holy Spirit, the anointing. I thank him for his word. I thank him that he is who he says he is, a living God in Psalm 18:46. I thank him that he's a faithful God, faithful. I thank him for his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I thank him for revelation. I thank him for bringing out abundance, out of slavery, out of holes and chains and everything that's broken in all his people's lives. I thank him for bringing souls in to be one. Thank him for heaven. Thank him for the cross, the blood. Thank God for Jesus that going 3 days in hell. Thank him that I can call upon his name and he's a faithful and a just God and that he hears our prayer. Thank him that he have not left us, because I know in the word of God he said he'll never leave us or forsaken us. I think he's a good shepherd, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Adonai El Elyon. I thank him for being the great I am. I thank him for being the bishop of our soul. I just want to thank him. Oh, for prophecy. I thank him for being the creator, the life giver, our husband, our maker. I thank him for defeating the enemy. I thank him that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank him. It's so much I can thank him for food.
Oh, I know.
I thank him for healing, not putting a band-aid. I thank him. Oh, Lord. Thank him that
We have royal blood. We are high priest. And we have Jesus interceding on our behalf. I thank him for being slain, being the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the, I just want to thank you for everything, everything, for being my everything in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah, I've had a busy week this week.
I thank you for the radio station. I thank you for the gospel. Because see, if we didn't have the gospel, we'd be blind. But I thank him so much. I can't forget about that. Thank you for the word that it's not that we have to walk into things, you know, cars, houses. Thank him that we, the word of God is going forth. I thank him for breakthroughs today and being able to declare and decree the things of God. Thank him for the kingdom and the will of God. So it's many things that I can thank him for, and thank him for the new, the babes that's coming in. I thank him that he, many are going to come into the kingdom of God. I thank him for his light, because he's breaking, he's doing new things. I thank him for the jubilee. So it's so much I can thank for that new mercy to be able to speak, talk, and to sit in his presence. I thank him for his favor, oh God. So it's so much. And I don't want to forget anything, because he know, and so we can praise and worship a holy God. I thank him for being holy, for his people are holy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And call upon
him.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Well, last time we had back, Pastor Wanda, we really missed you, you know, and
I miss you all too.
And we're starting this new ministry that I started, God's Rainbow Ministry, is starting to take off. I've only had it a couple of times, and we're now over 600 listeners, okay, which is really good.
Pastor, I need to come back, not this week, for Women of God. If the Lord's will, you pray about it, and so next week, but I already have everything that he wants me to write out. It's already
done.
Yes, I got to keep on every week. So he didn't gave me more stuff. He didn't open my eyes to some more things. And so, you know, he had me writing 14 years, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day in this ministry. So some things are being, he's manifested. I want to speak it. It's already done, brother. But he brought one of the books out that he had me to write and to break the word down to make it plain and simple as he had made it to me. It's going to be on, it's kingdom business to have a kingdom mindset and kingdom priority, and in knowing that the promise of God is true and amen. Every word of God is true and amen. So he gave me a whole bunch on every subject to speak on.
Okay.
To call the words for the hearers.
All right.
Brother, so I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Sounds wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to DJ that program. Okay.
Yes.
So what you got to say. All right.
Yes, it's a lot, brother. I mean, it's a lot that he's given me. And, you know, he opened my eyes more and more to the things that whatever breaks his heart breaks your heart, because he wanted people to know who he is. He wanted them to receive everything he had. He wanted them to have abundance in him. He wanted them to have the kingdom, everything that he wants. And that's why he have given me so much, as well as he have given you, many of his pastors, his shepherds, to feed his sheep. You understand? So, brother. So it's a whole bunch, and, you know, you might get knocked down, but you don't stay there, okay? He wants people to know there's forgiveness, there's healing, there's everything they need is the word of God. No matter what they're going through, it's in the word of God. And all the forces of darkness can't even stop what God has ordained. And Isaiah 14:27, he's ordaining many. Many are called for your chosen. But he's calling, it's a kingdom call,
that he wants his people to understand, I'm calling you. I'm calling you to greatness. I'm calling you to purpose. I'm calling you for my plan, my glory. And there's so much that he gives us. And it's got 24 hours in a day, but it's so much he wants to give his people to open their eyes.
His
knowledge.
What I've been doing lately, message to go out to people, okay, and it's basically a message on the kingdom. God's been giving me to give to people, okay, what he wants to do, what he wants to do for them, okay, to allow him to do it.
Only thing they got to do is yield and surrender. That's all he's waiting to do, surrender. Say, I'm tired. I give up. I don't want this life anymore. I want the life you called me to have. It don't matter what you've been through. He's calling you into something great. The greatest call is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It might feel it hurts when things are being moved from you. He's moving things for you for his good. Because he knows what's ahead. We don't know what's ahead, and a lot of people think this is supposed to be my man, this is supposed to be my husband, but it's not. God is moving. If some things that move out your life is God saying, this is not what I want for you. I have the best. He has the best for us. And that's the same in my life. Of any time that he had me preaching and teaching, he's still teaching me as well as when you preach, because it just wake up more in your spirit, the spirit man. Because God has better things. Man does not have what God has. God has the best. Amen.
Listen, Pastor Wanda, our time is coming to an end.
Amen.
Okay, so, Tony.
Sam?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to come here and give us a closing prayer. Okay?
Amen.
Here we go. Pastor Wanda, this is Tony, okay, and that's Pastor Wanda. You're now introduced. Okay, go ahead.
Father, thanks for all of those who have come with us tonight. Sound in your voice.
Yes, Father God.
Father, Pastor Fishman, for bringing your word to us. Sister Wanda, for coming in and listening, spreading her word. And may she be again with us in a couple of weeks to thoroughly let you know what she's got to say. In your words, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to close out with a song, okay? And it's called Unstoppable God. Here we go.
Thank you.
Central Standard Time. So God bless you all and have a wonderful night.
God bless.